Welcome to the Tradeswomen Australia podcast series that promotes women in trades. Here you'll hear stories of success and ambition from some of the industry's most inspirational women.
One thing I do want women to know is that we need more women in the industry because women bring a different perspective.
Today on the show, we're chatting with Jackie, a rope access technician from WA. Jackie's going to tell us all about her career, all her tickets, and what it's like to be a rope access technician.
I'm Jackie, and I'm a rope access technician, and I'm also a rigger and an NDT technician.
Awesome, Jackie. And do you want to explain what those roles are?
So basically, with rope access, we work from height. Usually, when there's work that needs to be done from height, it gets done off of scaffolds. But sometimes they don't want to pay more money. They have to pay more money for scaff because it takes a bit longer. So they get rope access in. And we access high places to do whatever work needs to be done. And we hang off of ropes, basically. So think of rock climbing, but slightly different. And with rigging, it's a construction job. So basically it's telling a crane what to do when the crane needs to lift loads, telling it where to go and where to put the load, and then also actually connecting that piece of equipment up to get it moved. So that's sort of really basic what rigging is. And NDT is non-destructive testing, which is basically testing steel for problems, so for cracks or things like that, or changes in thickness and other problems.
Wow, so you do quite a few different things, don't you?
Yeah, you kind of need to be with rope access. You sort of need to be a little bit multidisciplined if you don't have a trade. So because I don't have a trade background of, you know, I'm not a boilie or anything like that, you kind of need to be a bit multidisciplined.
So how did you get into it, and how did you get started on this career path?
So I was teaching, I came here from America 5 years ago, just over 5 years ago, and I did a bunch of different jobs. I worked at a gym, like doing admin, and I was a yoga teacher, and I'm also a freediving instructor. And so for a while I was trying to make those my normal job, but teaching freediving, and especially teaching freediving here in Perth, it's not really that viable. It's hard to do it year round, and yoga doesn't really make much money, especially if you want to build a house, which is what my husband and I wanted to do. So I decided I needed a change. And one of my best friends is a rope access tech. So I talked to him a lot about what he does, and I've kept peppering with questions for ages about, you know, what he does and why he does it and what his work looks like. And then I eventually just sort of took the plunge and did a rope access course, which is a week-long course. And I already knew I was good at heights because I've been a rock climber for a long time as well. So I kind of already knew that I'd be comfortable with rope systems and harnesses and being up high. But yeah, you can't really get too far just being a ropey. You can't just have rope access unless you want to clean windows in the city or something like that. So doing rigging, getting into rigging was sort of the quickest way to be able to get a job with ropes. So I did about a 3.5 week course to become an advanced rigger. And then went from there.
So is rope access different to rock climbing? Like, are they different harnesses and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's very different. So with rock climbing, you use just a lower body harness. So it's attached to your waist and your legs. And with rope access, we use a full body harness that actually goes over your shoulders. There's a top part that goes over your shoulders, attaches to the waist part. So it just has a little bit more coverage. And there's really no possibility of falling out of it, unless you don't have it done upright. And then also the other big difference is that rock climbing uses just one rope. So there's one rope that's attached to you, and you climb up with that rope and someone belays you as you go up, using that whole one rope. With rope access, we use a two rope system, which is just a safety system. So you're climbing on one rope and your other rope is just your backup rope in case something happens to the first one, but you're always connected to two ropes. So it's quite different, and you're not really, with rope access, you're not really climbing as such. Like, sometimes we sort of scramble up and down, you know, the structure or whatever we're working on, but usually you're just climbing up your ropes using your feet more than your hands.
Is there someone holding the other end of the rope while you climb, like when you go rock climbing?
No, so it's attached at the top. So what we do is we rig up the ropes. We tie up knots and use slings, and things like that, and we attach it to structure, and then we drop those ropes. So they're attached up there, they're secure, and you just climb up the ropes. So there's no one else belaying you because you don't need it. With the equipment that you have on you, as you climb up, when you sit back down and you put weight into your equipment, into the system, it catches you. So you can't just like slide back down the ropes again. The only time you can slide back down the ropes is when you open up your descender and you allow yourself to go down.
Before you got into rope access, you were talking about your career and talking about free diving. What is that?
So free diving is actually in the ocean. Think of scuba diving, but with no tank. So it's like spearfishing. It's what spearos do. They take one big breath and then they dive down and shoot fish. With free diving, I'm basically teaching people how to do that comfortably. So I still teach. Since I started FIFO Work, I haven't been teaching as much just because I didn't have a roster for a while, so I was sort of all over the place and it was hard to make course dates. And then I was doing a 4-in-1 in Darwin, so 4 weeks at work and 1 week at home, and I didn't want to teach in my week at home. So it's been a while since I've taught a course, but I'm still technically an instructor, and I still dive for myself.
So you live in WA, but you're doing FIFO work in Darwin?
Yeah, so I'm doing FIFO in on Barrow Island for a while, which is just up north, and then I was doing... right after that, that was a 2-in-2 roster. I was away for 2 weeks and home for 2 weeks, and then... after that, I started doing Darwin. I did Darwin for about a year, so away at work for 4 weeks and home for 1 week. It's the worst roster you can have, pretty much.
Oh, why do you say it's the worst?
All being away from home for 4 weeks and only home for 1 week is just not very nice. It's if you're single, it's not so bad, but if you have a family, then it's a little bit harder. I've got a husband and 2 dogs. And we were building a house and there was a lot going on at home. So, you know, when you get home, you really only have like 5 to 6 days and you're trying to see all your friends and do all the things in that time and, you know, spend time with your family and everything. And it just, the week flies by. Before you know it, you're flying back to work for another 4 weeks where you miss all the birthdays, all the Christmases, you know, all the holidays, all the events that people plan happen. They always happen to be when you're away. So, it's not a good roster.
Is there work out there other than FIFO work?
Yeah. So you can, at least with rope access, you can work in the city. There's plenty of work, especially in Perth. There's window cleaning, maintenance. I think there's a company here that started to get into the maintenance of the wind farms, so the wind turbines. There's definitely work. There's inspection work and all that kind of stuff. So you don't have to do FIFO, but FIFO is where the money is. So it just depends on kind of what your goal is within the industry, you know. So for me, when I started, I really wanted just to get my rope hours built up. I wanted to get experience. So I did city work for like 4 to 5 months. And then I knew that I wanted to get money quickly so that we could comfortably build our house and just sort of build a comfortable lifestyle for my family. And so that's why I chased the FIFO stuff for a while. But what you see is a lot of people who have been in the industry for a while starting to move back towards city work so they can be at home. You know, guys get tired of missing their kids, you know, events and stuff like that. So they start to move back to working closer to the city at least, or having better rosters.
I can imagine it would be so tough. What do you have planned for your future in the industry?
I'm not really sure. To be honest, I'd like to get to a point where I can call the shots and I can turn down jobs and take jobs that I want rather than just, you know, chase anything that comes my way. So with the inspection tickets I have, I'm still trying to build up hours. Technically, I'm not qualified. I've done the courses and I've passed, but you're not considered qualified until you have a certain amount of experience. So at the moment, my goal is just to get those hours signed off, whether that's on ropes or off ropes. So I'll take any jobs at the moment that will allow me to get that signed off. And then sort of down the road, I'd like to be closer to home, whether that's working from the city or only working 6 months out of the year or something like that. That is sort of where I'm moving towards.
So how many hours do you have to get?
With NDT, there I have 2 different qualifications. I've got UT, which is ultrasonic testing, and MPI, which is magnetic particle. And you have to have, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think you have to have 40 hours for each one. They drop it down if you're doing dual qualifications at one time. So for a while, I only had UT, and I was just trying to get my UT hours. Now that I've got UT and MPI, if I go to a site that is doing both, or if I'm trying to get both at the same time, then they drop down the requirements. So I think they consider 40 hours of your course, and I think after that, it's another 40 hours that you have to get of practical experience, but I'm still kind of unclear. So all I know is that I've got a long time that I need to be working on getting hours.
Can you explain what some of the testing is that you might do in the typical day?
Yeah, so with UT, let's say you're in a vessel of a offshore rig, something like that, maybe in a tank, they will just want you to go in and test for anything, any loss in thickness of the wall. So they might say this tank is supposed to be, or this plate is meant to be 11 mil thick. And what you do is you have to use your ultrasonic equipment to test the thickness of whatever that component is and just make sure that it hasn't lost too much thickness, basically. So we probably spend about 70% actually out in the field, actually testing and taking measurements and things like that. And then we spend another 30% of our day in the office doing reports. So you just got to write up what you did, the equipment you used, what you found, and things like that. So that's UT. And that's looking for subsurface problems. So that would be crack and things like that you can't actually see, or corrosion that you can't see. With MPI, magnetic particle testing, you're looking for stuff on the surface. So they'll say that they need this weld tested, and you'll go and use your equipment, test the weld, and it'll show you whether there's cracks or porosity or some sort of problem. And then the same thing, you spend about 30% of your day writing a report and telling them what you found and based on what they asked you to look for.
So for someone interested in getting into this industry, rope access, NDT, or a rigger, what advice would you have for them to get into it?
Do some research first, probably, before you try to get into it. A lot of people, all they know is that they want to be FIFO and they want to make FIFO money. And so they kind of approach the industry from that perspective. What I would say is do some research first. Make sure that before you start pouring money into courses, you could actually see yourself working 150 meters in the air. You don't do a whole lot of 150 meter drops in the mining industry, but you might be doing that in the city. So just make sure that you're comfortable at height, and then, you know, look into what NDT actually is, and are you more of a hands-on person, or can you imagine yourself sitting down writing reports for part of your day? The other thing is, I don't recommend a lot of people go into rigging at the moment because the construction industry is dying off. It's getting a lot quieter out there for FIFO work. So my biggest recommendation for people is probably don't go the rigging route at the moment, because it'll be hard to find work. But maybe going the inspection route is the best option. But definitely the biggest thing is just do your research, because, you know, a rope access course, you're looking at between $1,500 to about $1,900 for a one-week course. For NDT, for a one-week course, which is one qualification and doesn't actually qualify you, you're looking at about $2,500. So it's a lot of input if you are not quite sure if it's something you're interested in or could see yourself doing. I was really lucky because I had a lot of people who were already in the industry and gave me a ton of advice. And so I was very lucky in that sense before I went into it. And also, I already knew as a climber that I was comfortable doing that kind of stuff. I knew that ropes was going to be good for me. But anything I was unsure of, I could bounce off of the boys, off of the guys that I know. And since I've started in the industry and have met so many people, I've had so many people to continue bouncing stuff off of and getting advice from, and kind of helping me along the career path. So yeah, I've been lucky in that way.
Have you met many other women in the industry?
No, there's not a lot of us, at least not in ropes. I think it's slowly growing, but there aren't very many women. Since I started just over 2 years ago, I think I've worked with 3 women in rope access, but I know of more than that. So I know that there are a few more out there, but I've only ever worked with 3. But, I mean, up at Darwin, there's over 3,000 people at site, and I think at camp. So when we were working up at Darwin, we stayed in the camp, and most of the people who were working on site stayed in that camp, and there was a few other people in another camp. And I remember in our camp, the one I was staying in, it's the bigger one, there were on the roster, on the register, of all the people staying there, which is over 2,000 people, I want to say it was like 2,500, 68 were females. And that's including all the catering staff, all of the hospitality staff, so like the people who clean your rooms and stuff like that, and then anybody in the oil and gas industry, anybody working out there, not just ropes, but everyone. So, and while I was up there, there were three girls, me and two others. So it's still quite rare.
Wow, I just can't believe that's ridiculous. So Jackie, why is it that you do what you do and what do you love about it?
I just enjoy the work. I like the hands-on aspect of it. I don't like sitting in an office. And I know like with NDT, I do that for a part of the day, but that's only part of the day. The rest of it, I get to go out there and be physical and get a bit dirty. And what I really enjoy is working with people I probably never would have worked with otherwise if I had just stayed in, you know, teaching free diving or stayed in admin. So it sort of expanded my horizons by just meeting other people. And also, you can't just sit back and basically daydream when you're doing ropes or rigging or NDT. You have to keep thinking and you're constantly learning something new and kind of having to stay on your feet. So that's what I enjoy most about it.
And have your family and friends been supportive of your career choice?
Friends, definitely. My family weren't quite sure what was going on when I decided to start jumping into construction. So I come from a very academic family. My parents are both military, both Air Force, and both with, you know, uni degrees. And when we were growing up, me and my sister, the push was to go to uni and, you know, have a good job and all that. So we both did. My sister is now a mechanical engineer and has been for a long time. And I also went to uni, got a degree in anthropology and Spanish. But I didn't really know back then what I wanted to study. I just went because that was the expectation. And after that, I traveled for a long time and did a few other things for a few years and just kind of bopped around the world. And then when I settled here, I sort of kind of stayed in that same vein of like, oh, maybe I'll go back and study. Maybe I'll get a law degree or something. So when I jumped into doing something totally different, my parents weren't really surprised because I'm always doing something strange, but they just weren't sure whether it was going to be the right thing for me and whether I was, you know, whether it was going to be safe and, you know, and worthwhile, and was I don't know, making the most of my degree and stuff like that. So, but they've been extremely supportive, you know, ever since they started understanding what I'm doing and sort of how it's helped me and my family build our house and get to a comfortable place. So they're very supportive now.
I'm so glad that they came around. We're about to wrap up the show, Jackie. Do you have any final words of wisdom or anything that you really want to get across?
One thing I do want women to know is that we need more women in the industry because women bring a different perspective to an all-male industry. And this isn't just coming from a female, this is coming from guys that I work with who say, you know, they enjoy working with women because we think of things differently, where, you know, where guys might try to muscle a job in rope access, we might sit back and try to think it through. How can we do it without so much muscle? Or we just bring a different perspective. How can we do it a bit different? So there is a big need for more females in the industry.
How can listeners get in touch with you, Jackie?
Thanks for listening to the show. If you want to talk to me, just get in touch with Trades Women Australia.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jackie, and thank you, listeners. Please stick around for some special show notes. Thank you for tuning into today's show in partnership with the Federal Department of Education and Training Real Skills for Real Careers. You can find out more about pursuing an apprenticeship and beginning your lady tradie career on our website at www.tradeswomenaustralia.com.au or on the myskills.gov.au website. If you enjoyed our show today, please leave us a 5-star rating and spread the word to encourage more women into trades. Thanks again and catch you next week.